draft lottery coming up in just around an hour's time from now. And it could be the odds are very low, of course. But technically, there's a chance, not one, not two, not three, all of the top picks. Teams might not even know they won the draft lottery tonight if any of those come from the 8 to 15 slots. Craig Button, it's a unique twist. I understand why they're doing it, but it adds some intrigue. And personally, I'd love to see the number one pick come from a team outside the top seven.
Well, let's look back. Let's do a little history lesson, Jason. In the last three lotteries, 2017, the Philadelphia Flyers moved from 13 to 2. Yep. Dallas moved from 8 to 3. 2018, Carolina moved from 11 to 2, and in the 2019 lottery, Chicago moved from 12 to 3. So, you know, understand that this is the odds of teams moving up are low, but we have significant precedent here. And, you know, wouldn't that be something that the winner of the 2020 NHL draft lottery is placeholder C?
No, I know. And
can you you want to watch all the air go out of a room when Bill Daly or Gary Bettman have to announce this, you will see like all air go out of a room. And like it'll be one. And if I was producing that, I would just go to black, down to black.
Oh, but there's a chance could be two of them. You never know. And even the number one overall pick, because the number eight slot has won the number one slot twice. Now I know that, you know, it's only two times in 25 years. So it's not a lot, but still, it's happened, and they did it when it was only 3.6% chance, and they have a much higher chance than that tonight. Right. So it is kind of fascinating. You look at Lafreniere, and he seems to be the odds on favorite, Craig, to be the number one pick. And how do you compare him to wingers that we've seen, you know, because it's not often that you have a winger who goes number one overall. You know, the last winger, I guess we would say, was Yakupov, and obviously we saw what happened there. Taylor Hall as a winger was pretty good. Patrick Kane as a winger was very good. You know, Ovechkin dominant, so you can get still some good ones, Kovalchuk, etc. But where do you see Lafreniere? Who does he compare to in your eyes?
In my eyes, he reminds me of Mikko Rantanen because, okay, you know, he's got a power to his game. He can score. He can make plays. But like Mikko, they drive. They drive inside the hard areas. You know, to use a football analogy, they run inside the tackles, between the tackles. You know, and you know that's a different running back than somebody that's a scooter, right? And you know, Alexi, he plays in the heart of the matter. And, I mean, his skill is very high. You know, he's a star player. I think that he'll come into the NHL and be an immediate contributor. By that, I mean 60 points more, 20 goals, 60 points plus. That's how good he is, in my view. But, you know, one of the defining things about him is you watch him play and those moments in the game where it requires a play, it requires productivity. You not only want him out there, but he delivers. And to me, I don't know if you've ever watched the show I Hate Christian Laettner.
Yes, I have.
30 for 30. Well, yeah. I think it's Christian Laettner. They said he always had the ball in the last seconds, and he always made the shot. I mean, he had the perfect game in that one NCAA game. I think it was against Vegas with Jerry Tarkanian with UNLV, the running Rebels. You know, he was perfect. That was against Kentucky when he had the perfect game. 10 for 10 from the line, 10 for 10 from the field, and then he scored the game-winning shot with no time, with 2.1 seconds left. Anyway, or with no time, he got the ball. And Lafreniere, to me, has that same capability. Not only is he going to be out there, and it's easy to say, oh, yeah, you want him out there. He delivers. He delivers in a big way.
When you look at the, you know, it's interesting at the number two and the number three picks, Craig, because it's not who's the best today. It's who do you think is going to be the best in the future? And Byfield, you know, he's quite young, right, when you consider draft age, really. You know, he's young. He's already 6'4", 250. He's probably going to take a while to fill out. But who do you like in 5 years better, not who do you like today better?
And there you have it, Jason. You know, there is the key to scouting. It's projecting when these players are 21 and 22. I'm going to take you back in time a couple of places. Nathan MacKinnon was the first overall pick, and he was terrific, right? It wasn't until his fifth year in the league that he went to superstar status. And quite frankly, he wasn't at star status before he went to super. Like, he went from, you know, good, solid young player, and there was some questions about what level he would reach, so he just rocketed to superstar status. Ironically, it was also at the same time that Mikko Rantanen came into the Colorado Avalanche, ironically. Anyway, so you look at that. And then you look back at, like, I go back to 2017 again, and, you know, the Colorado Avalanche fell back three spots, and the Vancouver Canucks fell back three spots to 4 and 5, respectively. They ended up with Cale Makar and Elias Pettersson. You know, oh, Cale, small defenseman. Oh, Elias Pettersson, skinny forward, right? So the projection is a big key here. So now to answer your question. You know, we can look at the players, and I think this is a draft with high-quality players, 12, 13 deep. I really blame them. When I say high-quality, first-line players, top pair defensemen, and a number one goalie. So when I look at it, I think Byfield has a chance to be a real good player. But Tim Stützle, to me, is the second-best player in this draft. I think he's fantastic. I think that he has qualities with respect to his skill that's like Patrick Kane. But with respect to how he wants to grab a hold of the game and make a difference, reminds me so much of Peter Forsberg. And they don't play the same way, but Peter didn't dip the toe in the water. Peter, the puck dropped and it was game on. That's how Tim plays. And he wants the puck and he demands the puck and he wants to be that guy. And he was a frontline player in the German league this year. And I think that his potential is that, and you go to Byfield. I think Jamie Drysdale is like Bowen Byram. They're complete number one defensemen at 18 years of age. That's rare. And yeah. I don't usually project guys as number one defensemen, but that's what I do with Jake Sanderson with Jamie Drysdale. Perfetti is an offensive wizard. I mean, Raymond is like Marner in my view. So we're talking frontline players. But if you're asking me at two, I'm Stützle. And you know, at Christmas time, right after Christmas, I was like, Stützle, Byfield, kind of there. But as time went on and I got to the end, Stützle held the second spot for me, clearly.
Craig Button from TSN joins us. When you look at, did you see the statement from the Canadian Hockey League today? And, you know, they talked about, hey, you know, the accusations, many are historic in nature, and, you know, from the past and not necessarily leading. And I understand all that. And, you know, it talked about how they've always looked out. But the sad reality, Craig, is junior hockey has a history of not listening when the whispers became louder. You go back to Graham James, you know, you go to the Portland Winterhawks. You know, I actually went through the archives, and Robin Brownlee actually in the late 90s, you know, had a player come out on record, talk about all the stuff. The league didn't really do anything. Now, granted, Shaw was dead then, but even beforehand, he said, I brought it up, and no one did anything. So do you think junior hockey's actually going to listen this time when stuff comes up from players?
Well, they better. That's all I can say. They better, you know. And you know what? Like, it's about actions. And you know what? You can tell me all you want, what you want to do, and what your intentions are. It's about actions, Jason. You and I have talked about this for a long time. You're a 15-year-old. You're a 16-year-old. Parents are sending you away because a young person is going to pursue their dreams, going to pursue their goals. And, you know, you want those teams to take care of your son and to help him, you know, develop and be a caretaker for him. And abuse of any kind, verbal abuse, mental abuse, sexual abuse, you know, the hazing, you know, any types of abuse are 100% unacceptable. And to me, there's a power dynamic, and you know, you have the coach and the players young, they're at different stages of maturity, you know, they don't want to rock the boat, but they have to be given a clear mandate that if something's remiss and you don't see stuff, you have to be able to go somewhere and have recourse. And quite frankly, like, that's great with the GM. So if you tell the GM and you're not getting this settled, or you go to the coach, there has to be someplace else for that player to go to that is independent of the coach or the president or the owner. Because, quite frankly, if that's how we're going to trust everything, then we're going to run into bigger problems. Because where the problems are, Jason, it's usually where, you know, there's already a systemic problem in place. There's already something in place. It's like the Catholic Church with the priests. You know what? Like, oh, boy. Okay. And then they just move the priest around, right? They move him to another parish. Well, it didn't stop the behavior. You got to have a body outside of that team that the players can go to and know that their voice will be heard and this can be stopped.
Greg Button from
the next
TSN.
The next one that I hear about, okay, it'll be an ultimate fantastic failure, and they should throw the book at that organization. And the leaders need to be held to the highest account, Jason, to the highest account. You don't get to be an owner anymore. Look at what happened with Don Sterling with the LA Clippers.
Yep.
The commissioner of the NBA came in and said, no, you don't get to be an owner anymore. If this happens with an owner in junior hockey, you don't get to be an owner anymore. And if you're a coach, you don't get to be a coach. And if you're a manager, those are the leadership positions, you're out. That's the first thing that has to be mandated.
100%. And I can't, like, you know, hazing's obviously awful and stuff, but to me, just the old school coaches abusing power, that's the stuff that needs to stop. And, you know, it's okay to be hard on players in a respectful manner. And I think that's the stuff that still was around. It's been around the last few years, Craig. You and I both know that. And I think, you know, until the league wants to stand up and recognize it. And really what has to happen in every walk of life, if hockey wants to clean himself up, they have to have the courage from within to want to step up. It's just like, I would say 90% of policemen are great and police, but there's the 10% that are bad, and the 10% that are bad give everybody a bad name, and the other ones know they're bad, but they don't want to get rid of them. And so until you want to get rid of the bad ones, it's going to hurt all the good ones. And hockey is no different. But the silence of, oh, like, I'm sorry, a press release and, oh, we're committed to this means absolute garbage to me until you show some action.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And the other thing too is, it can't be people from the inside running the program in terms of who the ombudsman is or what it is. It's got to be separate and independent.
Yeah, I'm with you, man.
Because if you just let, like, you know, just again, I go back to the abuses in the Catholic Church. Like, you know, you let the Catholic Church deal with their own problem. They didn't want to deal with their own problem, so the problem continued. It's the same thing in an education system, and, you know, in a police force or any other thing. You can't let the people that created the problem try to fix the problem. They can be part of contributing potential solutions, but there has to be a separate and independent, in my view. That's how it has to be done.
Great stuff, Craig. We appreciate it, man. For fun, who's winning the lottery tonight?
Who's winning the lottery tonight? You know who I think is winning the lottery? Either Ottawa with their pick, or Ottawa with San Jose.
All right.
That's what I think.
Yeah, hey, they got good odds. They got good odds.
They do. That's where I'm going.
All right. Thanks, Craig.
Okay. See you, buddy.